Flashbang 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. You can win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. We say good morning to Charlie Bevins, funniest man at the station.
Good morning, team. How are we today?
What's up, Sparky?
We're good.
Oh, you know, love being back here. I haven't been back here since daylight savings, so I'm not used to it being this bright right now.
How about that?
Well, welcome.
Love it. Nicely done, Jay Moore.
All right, let's get into this. And where else to start but Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears. The Bears' second-year GM has been the story of the offseason and wielded the number one pick for DJ Moore and a hall of picks to move down to 9. They are still in the top 10, and there are plenty of potential QB needy teams. With a blank slate roster and the flexibility to move up or down the draft, shot or no shot, Ryan Poles still holds the keys to this draft.
I'm going to say no shot. He holds the keys to our draft. But at 9, I don't think he really controls the board. The board is whoever's holding those top handful of picks.
Yeah, but there's also a shot there because of the fact that what Kevin Warren said the other day is he feels that the Bears are kind of the center of the NFL right now. A lot of people are paying more attention to them. And I think that Poles knows that. And so there's a shot that he's a lukewarm shot that he is still kind of controlling the draft because the Bears have been the biggest offseason story. They've won the offseason, which I don't want to win the offseason, but they have. That's what most people have said, that they've won the offseason so far. And I think people are still watching his every move.
But winning the offseason, if it doesn't translate into winning the division, what does it really mean?
It
means that they're doing business
it's a
differently.
Summer League trophy. It's nothing.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. The Bulls won the Summer League trophy. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, I don't think they control the draft at 9. I think they're maybe more willing than others to trade out of their pick again.
They have so much attention on them. And it's interesting because Poles, as a first-time GM, has a lot of respect around the league.
He does.
A lot.
He does.
And that is impressive to me, to be young and to walk around with that kind of
right
swagger.
Have people
it's
go,
cool. Like, oh, what's he doing? He is still the guy that when he's at owners meetings, picks up his phone and everyone wonders what's happening next. That's why I say there's a shot that he still controls the draft.
There you go. Charlie.
All right, Matt Eberflus spoke with the media yesterday and discussed why the team placed a priority on chasing off-ball linebackers. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, you know, like a guy like TJ and a guy like Trey, those guys are young, you know, so we're excited about where they are, and they've produced in the league, so it's a known commodity. Those guys are players in this league, so we felt that just where we thought the draft was this year, where we think that is, we just thought that was a great move to take those guys where we got them, so... those guys are going to be, you know, valuable assets for our team for a long time.
Now, he described them as valuable assets, but when you look at the way a lot of teams spend money, they don't seem to agree with that thinking. So I'm curious, shot or no shot, Eberflus's desire to dedicate resources to a position as invaluable as off-ball linebacker is another reason to be concerned about a defensive-minded head coach leading their building.
Yeah, it's a no shot.
No shot.
First of all, who's the greatest coach in the history of the NFL?
Bill Belichick?
Yeah, he was a defensive coordinator. Who's the head coach in Buffalo? They've had a pretty damn good run. Haven't won the Super Bowl. He was a defensive coordinator. How about the guy in Baltimore? He's a stud. John Harbaugh?
Yeah.
He was a special teams coordinator. This fascination that you got to hire an offensive coach? Put a good staff. Just give me the best damn CEO to be the guy in charge of everything.
Yeah, no shot. I trust him and what he's doing. I think the players do, too.
They've got to get him. Players.
They need more players.
Correct.
It was interesting how he said, we like these guys because they're young. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds. Why would they do that to us? Seriously, why? Tremaine Edmonds is 24. TJ Edwards is 26. Mm-hmm. Roquan was 25. Like, they're all the same age.
Yeah. But they got both those guys for
right.
almost the same money, just
right.
a little bit more.
Right.
For
that, is a, that is wiser, yes. A wiser use of their resources.
Agreed.
All right. The Bears' biggest splash, of course, as we talked about, was acquiring DJ Moore, giving them finally a true wide receiver one, or at least we hope. But when you look around the league, the Bears still don't have a holistic room that matches up with the likes of Cincinnati and Philadelphia. You have a wide receiver one, but you don't really have the whole set room. So shot or no shot, the Bears need to continue prioritizing adding to their receiver room this offseason.
That's a shot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm
sure.
taking it at nine. I'm just taking the best player on the board. If that's a receiver, do it. They don't have one position on their team that they don't have a glaring need to upgrade. Not one.
Even still.
They need another corner.
Mm-hmm.
They still need another linebacker. They need four defensive linemen.
Yes.
They need another outstanding tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They need to replace running back one, because I think Khalil Herbert's okay, but I don't think he's a great blocker. Not an unbelievable receiver. Like, if the right running back is there at some point in the draft,
yeah.
not at nine.
No, not at nine, please.
I think they have that type of hole in their wide receiver room as well.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I mean, we don't know that this DJ Moore experiment is going to work. We don't know that
he's
Chase Claypool.
Player.
He's a good player, but so is Chase Claypool. That has become nothing
so far.
So far, we don't know how Darnell's going to come back. There's still a lot of questions in that wide receiver room. They could add another weapon in there. That would be
big time.
Outstanding.
I want that next year. I want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes.
Oh. Charlie.
He's so good.
Oh, God.
All right. Lots of news coming out of the NFL owners meeting. And one of the most visible proposals is the NFL's insistence on Thursday night football. They approved the option for flex scheduling on Thursday night games for weeks 14 through 17, which means that there will likely be teams playing multiple Thursday night games in a season. Shot or no shot, the NFL is pushing too far in their Thursday night football package with this approval.
I say shot. Thursday night football has never been good. It's never been very good. We've talked about it so many times.
For a fan, it's great because there's football.
Yes, but that's the thing. I look forward to it. I just like that it's on. But it isn't good quality football to watch.
It isn't. And what bothers me is, okay, let's say that Jay Moore and his wife and... Jay Moore, do you have kids?
Yes.
Okay. Jay Moore buys tickets, saves his money up. And they're expensive.
They're very.
Buys four tickets. We're going to go see the Bears play three Sundays from now. And all of a
yes.
sudden, the game got moved, Dad. It's Thursday. I got to work.
I can't
go.
Right.
That's disrespectful to the fan base.
Well, that's what the Giants owner, John Mara, is that how you say his name? Called it, quote unquote, abusive.
It is.
It is.
Patrick Mahomes, not happy about it.
No.
RG3 as well.
I mean, I'm all... I love the Monday night game. Why did we have to do Thursday?
Why don't we do two Monday night games? I would be cool with that.
Yes.
I love when they do that the first week.
I do too.
It's great.
They should do that every week.
How are you talking?
I like that. It's okay if we don't play... Then two Monday night games, Sunday and Monday. That's okay.
Correct.
Guess what? If it's good quality football, people are going to watch regardless.
Yeah.
But we don't need to see horrific injuries. We don't need to see teams like playing almost like they're playing in mud, right? Because they're exhausted. Like, we don't need that.
Correct.
I don't want to watch that.
Agreed. Agreed. And I don't think the players want to play in it. Charlie.
All right. The other bit of news out of Arizona is that NFL players will now be allowed to wear number zero. Calvin Ridley has already announced that he will wear zero, and I can't confirm or deny that that's in reference to the number of games he played last year. Nonetheless, there are sure to be more players making the switch, unless you're a lineman. Offensive linemen are still restricted to 50 to 79, and defensive linemen are restricted to 50 to 79 and 90 to 99. Shot or no shot, linemen should be allowed to wear the letter O.
Wow, I wonder is it harder to see it when they're throwing a flag?
Why does it matter?
Guys like to wear what they want. Darnell Mooney tweeted those like that emoji, you know, your eyes are looking at the
yes.
when they announce zero. I wonder if he's going to zero.
At what? Why? I mean, the best number to be is one. Why? Zero?
Like, if you let me pick my number, my college number was 7.
Okay. Why?
That's what they gave me.
Okay. See?
I just took whatever they gave me.
Because it doesn't matter.
But if you told me I could pick my number.
Yeah.
4.
Really?
Yeah. I have 4 sons.
Okay.
I grew up in a family of 4. So that's what I would do.
My high school number was 23. For volleyball and basketball, for obvious reasons.
And Michael Jordan wore it because of you.
This may shock you, but he is older than I am.
He is?
Just a touch. Just a touch. Yes. Well, my son just chose 99 for baseball because of Aaron Judge and Wayne Gretzky. He's like, I can do a nod to both of them.
And Wild Thing. Wasn't Wild Thing in Major League 99?
Was he 99? I should know that.
I think so. You should buy him that jersey as a gift.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The Wild Thing.
The Wild Thing Indians jersey. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be really swell. I'm going to write that down.
There you go.
Zero. Who wants to be zero?
Dame Lillard. He made it cool.
Don't be a zero. Be a hero. What are we doing?
Dame Lillard, who they just shut down for the year, by the way.
But the double zero? I also don't get that.
Double zero
is bad.
That used to be... what was the name of the guy on the Raiders?
It was Otto. Something,
Jim Otto.
Jim Otto, yeah. We were talking about this with Carmen and Waller yesterday.
And he wore double zero. Double zero.
What? Why?
It was cool as hell.
Was it?
Super cool.
I know. I don't want zero.
Super cool.
You know, Manny Ramirez wore number 99, too.
He did.
Oh, I love Manny Ramirez.
That is correct.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you a Manny Ramirez story that will make your skin crawl.
Is it not fit for air?
No, definitely.
Somehow I knew that.
Definitely not. All right, we'll go around then. Thank you, Charlie. We'll go around the National Football League. We do it every day at 8:18. And at 8:35, we play the Breakfast Elite 8 game as our brackets are getting narrowed down.
I'm excited about this. I've listened and had opinions. So I'm excited that
I'm
get to be involved with this.
To debate with you. That is coming up next.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean... what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
All right, every day, 8:18, we go around the National Football League. The NFL is king, man. Anytime they want to make news, they grab the headlines.
Of course, always.
And, of course, the owners' meetings just wrapped up in Phoenix. And we'll have more from Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren on the stadium. We do have to get into that. And then we got basketball tonight. Bulls and Lakers.
I know.
LeBron in town.
I know. I'm excited.
I know where he goes to eat breakfast when he comes to town.
Where?
I can't say it on the air because it would be an insane... if I said it, oh my God. That would end LeBron going to that restaurant. Because he calls ahead. His people do. Hey, he wants to come in and eat the pancakes. He loves pancakes. And they kind of give him a window. Not going to be many people there. And they go, yeah, you're out.
We got to get LeBron to vote in our breakfast bracket.
That'd be cool. So, yeah, that's the deal on LeBron.
I'm really excited to take my family, though.
Tonight.
Yeah.
All four of us are going.
Yeah. Cash says to me, he's like, Mom, I'm really torn. I was like, why? He's like, because LeBron is there, but I have to cheer for the Bulls. I know. It's a real juxtaposition.
I'm going Sunday with my son.
Awesome.
So he's a huge Bulls fan.
That's so cool.
And he wants to wear his Joakim Noah Florida jersey.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
That's awesome. We prepped last night by watching a bunch of YouTube videos of the Bulls introductions during the championship years.
The best.
I was like, oh my gosh, the best.
Insane.
It was so fun.
Insane. All right, Charlie, what do you got?
All right, well, there's been lots of hemming and hawing about the Bears' new stadium. It seems like every day there's news that is sort of news, but also not really news. It's just a general update. But there was something yesterday from Kevin Warren, where he basically said that once there are shovels in the ground, it's going to take 36 months for the new stadium to be built. So,
I can get a shovel up to Arlington Heights right now. And
we could do that this afternoon if that would help.
Stadium. I mean, that. That seems optimistic to me. I don't know why, but I feel like the way things are, that the freeway is going to take 3 years.
Well, no, the freeway is going to take way longer than the Bear Stadium.
Correct. But he has experience with this.
Yes. Also, Kevin Warren is not, he is a different leader than we have had with the Bears, maybe ever. And when he walks into a room, he gets things done. Like, he knows because he's done it, but also because you don't put the shovel in the ground unless you're ready to complete what you start. That's who he is.
Correct.
And he will have everything set up and ready to roll.
Somebody
asked him.
It's going
to be amazing.
Down there, something to the effect of, so after you get the stadium, like, what's next project that you have to, he's like, slow down.
Right.
We don't even have legislative hurdles cleared yet. I got a lot of work to do here. Let's not worry about what's next.
He hasn't even started yet. Correct. His first day is April 17th.
That is correct. Here's Kevin Warren on what Charlie was just saying.
The plan I always say is that from the time that you put a shovel in the ground, it's about 36 months if you stay on target. But the key is when you put the shovel in the, you know, the ground, because now you have to get all the legislation done, work through all the political elements, design, you know, the stadium, make sure it comes to life. So that's really where the timetable, you know, becomes. And so
there you go. So 36 months, shovel going in. We can have that done today.
Yeah, done today. Simple.
Yeah, and we work fast. It might be quicker than 36
months. Just need someone to call in and give us the okay, the correct. A-okay.
Charlie.
All right, another bid has been submitted to the Washington Commanders. It's now at two groups have submitted $6 billion bids for the Commanders. It's a Josh Harris Mitchell Rails group, which includes Magic Johnson. And then there's a Canadian billionaire. I'm going to mess up his last name. They've also submitted a $6 billion offer. It seems like this is going to happen soon. And there's some interesting contract stuff that I've found. The guarantee contracts that Washington has handed out, the guarantees typically start 2-3 weeks after they're signed. They don't start till mid-May. So what that's telling me is Dan Snyder is trying to sell this thing before May, and he doesn't have to pay out those contracts before that sale.
Right, he wants to keep all his cash.
Yes, to the surprise of no one.
The league will be better off when he is out.
Yes.
I mean, I don't like to be that name call. Everything I've read and people
everything
who have
I've read, same.
There who I've talked to,
haven't
have said
owners,
he's a horrible guy.
Haven't owners said out loud that the league would be better if he wasn't? Like, they're ready for him to go on. Jim Irsay has, yeah.
It's said what a bad guy he is.
It's
what
funny, too.
Did a player not just come out and say, the guy's going to get how many billion and he couldn't give us free coffee?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, it's funny, too, because when he initially bought the football team, it was written about him in the Washington Post about how optimistic things were for Washington at the time. And then it's just none of it has happened. And in fact, the opposite has happened. They've been one of the most dysfunctional franchises in football since he took over.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Bad, bad deal, man. Bad. Glad he'll be out of the league. Charlie.
All right, so how about this? NFL owners vote to allow sports books in stadiums on game days. That's going to be allowed. I'm not sure how many stadiums are going to actually start implementing it this year. I would assume it'd be somewhat soon. You know, Wrigley Field has their sports book coming in. My question is, I would just bet everything on my phone. Like, I don't understand why I would feel the need to go up to a sports book in the stadium to disrupt my game experience when I can just place a bet on FanDuel or something else on my phone.
Correct. But what if at Wrigley, for example, what if the food is really good and it's a place on an NFL Sunday, the Cubs aren't even playing, you go hang out, hey, let's go watch the Bears and all the NFL action over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And, like, Rivers has a sports book, and I know a lot of friends of mine. My buddy Dave, he goes and makes his bets there because he likes hanging out there.
Right.
I prefer to do it on my phone on my couch.
Right.
And go, I want a live bet. Bam.
I still never done
that. But what if you're coming from Iowa? I don't know. They don't have sports gambling, I don't think, in Iowa. Or Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin doesn't.
Okay.
So what if you're going to a Cubs-Brewers game? You want to make a bet on the game. Well, you don't have the app because your state doesn't allow it.
Right, right.
Idiots. I think it's an interesting concept. And the FanDuel one at the United Center
is
beautiful. Beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. So you go in. Hey, Dion, let's go to the Bulls game tonight. I'm going to run in here for a second. I'm going to bet $50 on the Bulls to win tonight.
Aren't they putting that in at Wrigley?
That's what I'm saying. The DraftKings is at Wrigley.
Yeah, at Wrigley.
FanDuel's at United Center. I don't know what the White Sox are doing. They're putting one in.
Yeah, I would think. I would almost think that it'd be better.
I think White Sox are big with Caesars and BetMGM, I think.
Yeah, I would think it would be big. They would probably. There would be more people there on non-game days where, like you said, Cap, like, hey, you know, you're in the city. Let's go to a sports book. And it's one of probably three or four just in this city proper until that one opens the West Loop.
Or if you're at the game, you know,
yeah.
You go hang out. You're like,
but you're right
what?
On, gosh, if they can find a way to make money on non-game days.
Yeah.
Yes, they will do it.
Cash the checks. Yes. And I'm telling you, Brooks Boyer and George and the guys there, they know what they're doing at the White Sox. They'll all be bringing money in.
Of course.
What it is. Charlie.
All right. Raiders owner Mark Davis apologized to Derek Carr for, quote, not being able to get it done. Mark Davis, who recently now has a buzz cut instead of whatever haircut he had before.
Oh, the bowl cut's gone?
Yeah, he's got a full-on buzz. And
wow.
They're both quite interesting looks, I would say, but he straight up apologized to his quarterback, which, I don't know, I feel like they kind of both failed each other in a lot of ways.
So
he's apologizing
to Derek that we just didn't work.
Correct.
He's the first one that's even acknowledged that, right? I mean, no one's really said anything about how they treated Derek or how that all ended.
No. Like, Derek Carr's a good football player.
Yeah, and a good guy.
Yes. Well-liked there.
Yes.
And now he'll go to New Orleans, and if they win with him, people in Vegas
will
be
outraged.
We had this guy.
I know.
Think of all the stuff that happened with the Raiders in Derek Carr's last 4 years there. You have the whole Gruden, the way things ended with Gruden, and you have the Henry Ruggs thing. And, you know, I mean, not to shower him with too much praise or anything like that, but, like, that's kind of what you want in your leader, to sort of navigate those tepid waters. And,
of course.
You know, he did. Mark Davis said, as I told Derek, the only consistent thing with the Raiders for the last 11 years has been me, and the fact we haven't won falls on me. So he basically said, like, it's my fault we didn't win.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Like to hear the falling on the sword. I thought that was first class. Charlie.
All right. Rams head coach Sean McVay says quarterback Matthew Stafford will be, quote, ready to roll in the 2023 offseason. Stafford obviously missed most of last year, and the season went sour pretty much instantaneously for the Rams. So maybe they can get back on track this year.
Boy, they gave up a lot.
They did.
Jalen Ramsey, out of here. He's wearing a Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
Okay. They got rid of Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the third one they got? Oh, Bobby Wagner went back to Seattle. So they gave up three
they gave up
pieces on their defense. I just looked up defensive rankings.
Last year was like such a weird anomaly. It felt like an anomaly for a team that had as much talent as
they did. They're ranked as the worst defense in the NFL today.
That was
real bad. Bears are 29th. They're worse.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And they have Aaron Donald.
I know.
And they're still ranked worse.
And they're still ranked worse, yeah.
So,
gosh, something went very awry with them. I mean, maybe. Maybe they can get back to bounce back quickly. They need a lot, though, to get there.
Big time. Charlie, yeah. Got one more?
Yeah, how about this? Titans GM Rand Carthen rejects erroneous Derrick Henry trade rumors. He says we're in a good place. Titans are another one of those teams who could possibly be looking to start over, and Derrick Henry is probably their best trade asset outside of Jeffrey Simmons right now, so it looks like he's sticking around.
Yeah, how much are you truly going to get for Derrick Henry? Really good player.
How old is Derrick Henry?
He's almost 30.
Okay.
Did you ever see his high school numbers?
No.
Do yourself a favor and pull up Derrick Henry high school stats.
Okay.
They are insane.
He's a good player, but almost 30 for a running back is old.
And a running back with, when I read you these numbers, you are going to go,
all right,
okay, hit Derrick Henry.
I got him right here, Cap.
Okay, go ahead.
12,124 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
And 153 rushing touchdowns.
Damn.
Average 8.7 yards per attempt.
Where did he go?
He's from Florida.
Yeah, Jacksonville. Yulee High School.
My goodness.
Yeah. And if you go back, okay, freshman year, he's 14 years old. He carried the ball 313 times for 24.
Oh my goodness.
2,465 yards. He averaged 224 yards a game. He averaged 7.8 yards a carry. He scored 26 touchdowns. The next year, he carried it the same exact number of times, 313. This time, he scored 38 touchdowns. 38.
His junior
year, he carried it 309. He scored 34 touchdowns. And then he finished it all off with 462 carries for 4,261 yards. An average of 327.8 a game, 9.22 yards per carry, and 55 touchdowns.
That's a lot of mileage, man.
That's a lot of mileage on that body, man.
That's insane. Of course, now I'm doing some sort of a YouTube deep dive of these highlights from high school for Derek.
He's insane.
Insane.
So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, like, just burst. It's unbelievable.
It's unreal. Anyway.
That is outrageous.
Outrageous.
Have to be the best ever.
He is.
In high school,
broke,
right?
A guy named Ken Hall had the record. He broke it.
Of course he did.
All right. Breakfast Madness Elite Eight. Breakfast Madness Elite Eight. We've done a bracket throughout the tournament of breakfast items. The seating committee was Shay and Jay Moore. I felt like they were like biology professors who got stuck on a selection committee they didn't belong on because some of the seedings were horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Jay. Man, I'm here.
I would like to see the original bracket, but I heard some of the seedings and I was like, oh, Fruity Pebbles was way overrated.
Way overseeded.
Way overrated.
Yeah. These dudes did a poor, they didn't have enough like KenPom data coming right in. So we'll
next
go
year,
over
get it right.
The Elite Eight next.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
White Sox open up in Houston against the defending champion Astros on Thursday night. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Coverage starts at 5:30 on the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Cubs start their season against the Brewers at Wrigley. Catch Hoodie, catch me. 7-10, Carm Yerk, 10-2 at Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville before the game. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Cubs signed Nico Horner to a 3-year, $35 million contract extension. Jonathan Toews returned to Blackhawks practice yesterday and expressed uncertainty about ever playing again in the NHL. And the NFL will allow players to wear number 0. With Jay Moore.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n Jay Hood Experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
With Dion Miller, I'm David Kaplan. Charlie Bevins will be answering your calls. And Jay Moore is at the controls. We've got a management type down here. Eric Ostrowski is also down here helping out on the show as we get ready for our breakfast bracket Elite Eight. Final Four is set for real basketball this weekend. Who are you picking this weekend?
I don't know.
So I'm friends with one of the coaches.
Okay.
Dan Hurley.
Okay.
Love Dan Hurley.
Yeah. Probably UConn. I'd probably go with UConn.
So I'm rooting for him?
Yeah.
But any of the four would be cool. I think they're all good dudes.
Yeah.
Really cool. Hey, Charlie, do you have the Hubble telescope so I can read this thing?
I thought it was just me. I was like, wow.
Are you serious?
So we printed those of you. This is not suitable for, I mean, like,
Air Twitch.
People on Twitch can see the bracket. Look at how small this is printed. We just printed our breakfast food bracket and the
I've got my reading glasses on.
The print is so small. It is so small.
You guys are better than this.
First of all, the fact that a Lox bagel went out in the first round is absurd.
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 Yes.
Who made that decision?
The listeners.
You guys, you're missing it. That's my favorite brunch thing ever.
First of all.
Okay, go.
Is McDonald's hash brown the number one seed?
No! Absolutely not.
Agreed. I agree with you 100%. The committee was awful
on that. It beat the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit? No.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I'm not a Chick-fil-A fan.
All right, well, I'm just saying.
Then.
Wait, I can't read.
Yeah. McDonald's bacon, egg, and cheese took out Burger King's French toast sticks.
We've got McDonald's going head-to-head in the final in the Elite Eight here.
Right. So here's where we are.
Okay.
The Elite Eight in the fast food region, the one seed McDonald's hash browns against the two seed Sausage McMuffin. Okay.
Wow.
If I have to vote on that, which I do,
yeah,
I'm going Sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, I don't even eat the Sausage McMuffin, and I would vote that, too. Hash browns needs to go away.
Agreed.
It's just like a flat tater tot. Like, it's not
That's exactly what it is.
What is it?
It's like a large tater tot, and you stepped on it.
Correct. That's not breakfast, you guys.
This is open for voting now.
Who did this?
Charlie, these are open to vote on, right?
Yes, they are. You can find them on Twitter.
ESPN1000 on Twitter. And then in the sweet region, I don't know what seed that is. Pancakes.
That's the number one seed.
Number one is pancakes.
Against the number 10, I can read.
Donuts was a 10?
So stupid.
Donuts kind of fell off a little bit.
Why?
Donuts are a dessert. I feel like...
Well, if I could actually read the rest of the bracket, maybe I would agree. But I can't read it, so I don't know what the other items are.
Okay, so it's pancakes against donuts. In the sweet 16, it was pancakes against cinnamon rolls. And Belgian waffles against donuts. And now we're down to pancakes and donuts.
I'm also mad that overnight oats got knocked out in the first round, too.
Yeah, overnight oats lost to croissant. So.
All right.
All right, so how are you going? Pancakes, donuts?
I'd go pancakes.
Yeah, I would go pancakes as well there.
They are rightfully seated as
the
one.
The savory region. We are down to the sweet 16 was omelet, the 9, against breakfast skillet. Whatever that is. I can't read that.
I think that's the 13th seed.
The 13. And the 13 breakfast skillet advanced over omelet. I would have gone omelet.
I would have gone omelet, too.
So it's breakfast skillet now against breakfast burrito.
I love a breakfast burrito.
So you're going burrito over skillet.
I am, yes.
I'm going skillet.
I smell an upset. Yes, skillet definitely has more to offer here.
Agreed. And then in the cereal region, okay. And by the way, it's breakfast burrito against hash browns.
But breakfast burrito beat hash browns.
Right. But how about this? In the fast food region, they give the hash brown thing a one seed.
Yes.
But they don't give it a one seed in the savory region.
Because there's two different types of hash browns. You got the McDonald's hash brown, which is whole. And then you have the regular hash browns that are chopped up.
It's a tater tot and shredded potatoes. That's what we're
Bingo.
Doing here. That's really what we're eating here.
Bingo. So I'm going breakfast skillet over breakfast
burrito. I'm going
burrito. You're going the other way.
Yeah.
And then in the cereal region, my number one seed, I agreed with their one seed, Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes, yes.
Frosted Flakes knocked out Honeycombs, but then lost to Cinnamon Toast Crunch in a major upset.
That is a major upset.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch then took on Honey Nut Cheerios for a spot in the Elite Eight, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the 9 seed, is alive.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is your San Diego State right now.
Yeah.
I have a lot riding on Cinnamon Toast Crunch, my all-time favorite cereal.
And at the bottom really of the bracket, the 2 seed, what was the 2 seed? Fruity Pebbles?
Yes.
They took out
inappropriately high-seeded Fruity Pebbles.
They took out Frosted Mini Wheats, and then Fruity Pebbles lost to Fruit Loops. And then it was Lucky Charms taking out Fruit Loops. I don't understand that.
What is our life right now? What are you saying?
And it is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the 9 against the... what number is Lucky Charms?
3.
The 3. So it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch against Lucky Charms. I'm going Cinnamon Toast Crunch there.
I think I am too. I'm disappointed that, like, I mean, my favorite cereals aren't on here.
Like, what would yours be?
My favorite cereal?
Muesli?
No! Wheaties.
Grape Nuts?
Total?
Wheaties. Wheaties is my favorite.
Wheaties?
Wheaties and Raisin Bran. Oh, my gosh. So good.
I said Raisin Bran. They didn't even make the field.
They made it to the NIT, so they still had a little tournament.
Is there an NIT?
Wheaties is literally just Raisin Bran without the raisins, right?
Correct.
That's my understanding.
Yes, it is. But Wheaties, I got a lot of Michael Jordan posters growing up.
Yeah.
Wheaties was really fun. I loved it.
Do you still have cereal in your house?
Yes. I don't eat a ton of it. But we have Honey Nut Cheerios.
Mm-hmm.
The whole family loves Honey Nut Cheerios. Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds
mm-hmm.
is a very big favorite. And right now we have Cinnamon Life, which I enjoy.
Cinnamon Life.
Cinnamon Life.
So you don't have a lot of sugary cereal.
No, I try not to do that. My daughter loves Lucky Charms, but I find that I come back to the bowl, and she's just eating all the marshmallows out.
And the cereal's still there?
Yes.
I've got cereal like, right in this bag.
Do what do you have? What in there?
It's a super healthy cereal.
Of course it is.
With almond milk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to eat that here after this break.
But Wheaties with a banana and ice-cold almond milk? I mean, there's not much better.
Do you know what athlete was on the Wheaties box the most?
Muhammad Ali.
No shot.
Lance Armstrong.
Mary Lee Rutten.
No shot.
Michael Jordan.
Shot 18 times.
18?
There you go.
Tiger Woods is second with 14.
You guys, how did Wheaties not even make it? We're a sports show.
How about that? Wait a minute. You said 18-14?
Correct.
I think Tiger also trails Jack Nicklaus 18-14 in majors.
Ah, you may want to bet that.
Wow.
How about that?
Look at that.
There you go.
I would go Cinnamon Toast Crunch for sure. My whole family loves Cinnamon Toast
Crunch. I would go Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And it's good dry. There. That also makes it a good cereal, right? Like, you don't need the milk.
And all considerations of cereals that didn't make it this year will definitely have an opportunity next season.
Okay. Well, they're going to go back to the drawing board, regroup, fight even harder next year.
Next year's bracket's not going to be breakfast items, so we're going to get a new search committee for sure.
Like to be on the selection committee, although yogurt parfait would be higher ranked probably. Or,
yeah, that got knocked out early.
I know.
So.
Avocado toast isn't on here?
Right.
You guys.
I don't like avocado toast.
I love avocado toast.
I don't like it either, really. But it's not on here.
I like it with an egg over medium on top of it.
Oh, I bet that is
good.
And
a slice of tomato.
But the lox bagel, that's like my favorite. That would be in the championship game.
Or how about bagel with a schmear? Where is that?
I see just a straight everything bagel is on here. But no schmear, if you will. I don't like that word. Let's not say that anymore. Let's not say that anymore.
How about the word moist?
No. End it. Gross. We need to go to break. Gross. Let's not use those words anymore.
A moist schmear.
You're so gross.
Your bagel. All right. We'll be at Oak Crow all morning tomorrow. We'll tell you about that. And we're going to talk a little baseball. That's all coming up next.
Welcome back. Welcome
back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
That's a fun remix.
What is that?
I know the song, Paved Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot. Who sings this song?
This is Janet Jackson's.
Yeah, but the real version.
The original version.
I think it's Joni Mitchell.
Oh, okay.
Joni Mitchell. Jay Moore's got all the music knowledge. I don't.
I don't either.
I suck at music.
So do I.
I know what I like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I know what I like.
I'm the guy that literally gets in the car.
I like 90s music.
I click on Waze because it tells you the best route.
Yes.
And then it pops up on the screen of my truck, and I close it out of my iPhone, and I leave Shazam open. And I'm listening to whatever I'm listening to. Oh, that's a good song. Shazam. Yeah. Add to my Apple Music.
Oh,
that's
nice.
That's it.
Oh, that's nice. Did Waze tell you to just keep on your same route today?
It did.
So that means that it wasn't. I saw all these people getting off at Cicero, and I'm like, should I do it?
I thought about
that. But I didn't know if it would adjust.
The problem with that is you can't jump over to the express lanes, I don't believe.
No, I don't think so either.
It would be a chore.
Yeah. Thankfully, the express lanes are still open.
They're going to only be open going inbound now for 3 years. Isn't that right? I think until they get this side done, I'm not going to make it.
I'm not going to make it. We got to find a different.
The queen of traffic, Roz, is right outside that door.
We need to ask her for alternate routes.
She's the best.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
We need to find alternate routes, please.
We do.
Anyone.
Maybe they can get a helicopter.
Yeah. For
Your
you, probably.
Your ride is here, honey.
For you, probably.
I believe in New York you can get an Uber helicopter.
What?
Yeah, there was somebody who tweeted, it could be Photoshop or whatever, there was somebody who tweeted out, like, why is an Uber helicopter cheaper right now than a regular Uber? And it was like $78.
Uber helicopter?
Yeah. I don't know I think it takes you to a helipad, probably. I just don't know where those helipads are.
And while we're talking transportation, that song that Janet Jackson sampled was Joni Mitchell. It was called Yellow Taxi.
That's it.
1970.
Wow.
Learned something new.
There you go.
Or are reminded of something you forgot.
So tomorrow, baseball gets going.
Yes.
It Is there a position that any of you think the Cubs are better than the White Sox at? Andrew Vaughn over Mancini, Hosmer at this point in those guys' careers? Yes, Andrew Vaughn. Third base, Yoan Moncada, who can never stay on the field. Patrick Wisdom. Who's better?
Push.
Is it Wisdom or Madrigal? Like, which, who would you prefer in that spot, Cap?
Wisdom.
Same.
I'm looking up Yoan Moncada. Like, Yoan Moncada was that guy who signed for, like, crazy money. But I got to look up. He's never healthy.
When he's locked in, he's very good.
He is.
Yes, but that is not consistent, Charlie. He's not consistently locked in.
So last year, he hit 12 home runs and hit 212.
How many games did he play?
He played 104.
Okay.
The year before, he played 144.
Oh, okay.
He had 14 home runs and hit 263. The year before, we'll excuse it's the pandemic. The year before that, he had 132 played. He hit 315 with 25 bombs. That's a career high. He's never been higher than 17 other than that one year 4 years ago. So, Patrick Wisdom, better power hitter for sure. I don't think he's as good a glove. But Patrick Wisdom stays on the field. There's something to availability.
Yes.
Now, just so we're clear, Patrick Wisdom has not had anywhere near the run of seasons that he's been in the big leagues. He came up with the 2020 Cubs, played two games. He was a first-round pick of the Cardinals that they ended up letting go. He played 32 games in his career there. He played nine with the Rangers, and the Cubs picked him up. Played two games in 2020. He was up for 106 games in 2021. He played 134 last year. Home run-wise, he hit 28 in 2021. He hit 25 in 2022. I don't think he's as good defensively as Moncada. Mm-hmm. He strikes out more than Moncada. His batting average, although Moncada's isn't great, is less. But in terms of being a power hitter, it's not close.
It's
Wisdom's
not close.
A better power hitter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But so, it all comes... It just is, I don't know, hearing that Moncada is not 100% right now is opening day. It's like, of course he's not. Of course
he never is.
He never is. That's what's so frustrating.
Okay, I give you Tim Anderson or Dansby Swanson. How you going?
Swanson.
Really?
I think so.
I think I go TA. And I love Dansby Swanson, but he hasn't, you know, played here yet.
I think I go Swanson there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That one surprises me. I would go Tim Anderson at this point. Second base, Nico Horner versus Elvis Andrus. I'm going Nico Horner.
Yes, yeah, same.
100%.
Same. 100%.
Right field, Seiya Suzuki. Oscar Colas going to start?
That's what it's been trending toward, at least.
Okay. Oscar Colas hasn't proven anything yet. He's a prospect. Seiya Suzuki had an okay rookie year.
Yeah.
He's out right now with an oblique. I've had that injury. That sucks.
Gosh, I don't know. But I don't know enough about Oscar Colas to say.
We haven't seen.
Right.
So I'll take Suzuki by default.
Yeah.
Center field, Luis Robert, Cody Bellinger. At this point in time, I have to go Luis Robert because Cody Bellinger's had two down years.
Right.
Here's the other one. Left field, Andrew Benintendi, Ian Happ, who's coming off an all-star and a gold glove.
I know. And I'm a fan of him. So it's hard for me to like check my bias at the door.
So let me look up Andrew Benintendi.
Do that.
Last year, he was with the Royals and the Yankees. He played 126 games.
Okay.
He hit roughly 275. And the year before with the Royals, he had 276. He had 17 home runs.
Okay.
The year before that was the pandemic. We'll throw that out. 2019 with the Red Sox, he hit 266 with 13. He's hit 290 with 16. He's hit 271 with 20 is his career high in home runs. Last year, he combined for a total of five home runs. I think Ian Happ's a better player.
I think Ian Happ's a better player, yeah.
So it's not as clear-cut.
No. Mm-mm. There's a lot of questions around both of these teams heading into this season.
Agree.
A lot.
Totally agree.
White Sox have more to prove. Carmen pulled up yesterday the like power rankings for teams. Sox are 18. Like, no one expects them to be in Correct. The elite of the league.
Correct. And we'll see what their manager does.
Yeah.
We will talk to the voice of the White Sox, the great Len Casper.
Hooray.
He joins us in 2 minutes.